Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration, with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader. Inspiration Nation shares inspiration from the world of words and is the place where connection comes from life experience and personal stories. Inspiration Nation Radio is proud to bring you authors, writers, speakers, and leaders from different walks of life to empower and inspire you to live from your best self. Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration. And now, welcome to the show with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader.
Welcome, welcome everybody to another edition of Inspiration Nation. This week I have with me a friend of mine who lives in Florida with me, Ms. Linda Verhand, and she is the author of Good Night and God Bless. And so welcome, Linda, to the show.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a little chilly here for us native Floridians, but it's beautiful outside.
Yes, the sun is shining.
Yes, it is. But it is, like I said, to me it's a little chilly, but I'm a native. So,
yeah.
Of course, for our northern friends, they'd probably be upset with us at for us saying, or for me saying that it's too cold or it's cold, because I probably don't know that type of cold.
Right.
But it is a beautiful day, and thank you guys for being here. Today, Linda and I are going to be talking about not only her book, Good Night and God Bless, but the subject of caregiving and healing and laughter, even, in the midst of caregiving and the journey of... So, Linda, I wanted to have you share first with the listeners. Your book is a journey for you, and I wanted you to be able to share with them a little bit about the inspiration behind the book.
Well, the inspiration behind the book, I guess, was really just my love for my mother. Mm-hmm. I took care of my mom the last 18 months of her life. She had stage 4 colon cancer, and we had a wonderful journey. There were some really difficult times and some really frustrating times and some really painful times. But there also were some very joyous times and some very funny times. And so I started writing the book. It was 5 weeks before my mother passed away. And I named it Good Night and God Bless, because that's what my mom said to me every night. And I wrote the book through the last 5 weeks of her life and my grieving experience. And then I reconstructed our adventure the year before we had through my journals and my calendar and everything. And when the book was published and I was out promoting the book, every time people would come up to me crying, saying, I think I need help with mom or dad or my spouse. And as a result, I've become a caregiver advocate. So I do caregiver talks, caregiver support groups, caregiver workshops, because caregivers are dying before the people they're taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
Caregivers spend so much time taking care of their loved ones, they don't take care of themselves.
Isn't that the truth? Which is something I want to talk more about with you during this interview. That's a big key one that I want to share with the listeners, and how we can resolve that and help them through that. One thing that you and I talk about, and it is in the book, it's mentioned that, and I think you've said this to me before, there's a quote or something out there that says, in each of our lives, we'll either be a caregiver, need a caregiver, or know of someone who is a caregiver. I think that's
yes,
the quote.
Yes, that's Rosalind Carter. It's Rosalind Carter. It's like you either are a caregiver, have been a caregiver, will be a caregiver, or someone will be taking care of you.
There it is.
And
yep.
There's no doubt about that today because we're living so much longer than we did years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it's such a huge
it makes a big difference.
Part of our life. Right.
Yeah. And we take care of people that we love dearly.
Mm-hmm.
We love dearly. Even professionals that take care of people that are not their family members. Mm-hmm. They end up building huge bonds with these people. And something I find very interesting is caregivers come to my support group. They'll come for a period of time, and then their loved one will pass away, and they'll still come back to the group because they still want to share and things.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing they tell me that they regret was that their caregiving experience was too task-orientated, that they were so worried about the doctors and the food and this and that, that they didn't take the time to just spend with their loved one.
Mm. That's
and
a huge piece of it. That's a huge piece of too is that and we'll start there, I guess, that during that caregiving process, like you say, we're so task oriented. We are so worried about getting to the doctor's appointments, making the doctor's appointments, getting the prescriptions. Making sure they eat right. I know that with my mom, that was a big one. And we had to stop ourselves kind of in the middle one day and say, wait a minute, if she's not hungry or if she doesn't want this particular food, in the huge scheme of things, why is that? Why are we making that such a big deal?
Right.
And in the end, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter.
No.
No,
it didn't matter at all. And it can be, and something as simple like that can be a huge frustration to somebody that's really not necessary.
Yes.
You know, my mom didn't want to eat a lot too. And at one point, what I used to do is I used to buy ice cream and mix and sure with it and make her a shake. And she just thought she was having an ice cream shake. She didn't realize that she was drinking, nutrients at the same time.
Yes.
So.
You find creative ways. You can find creative ways to get them what they need, like you say, the nutrients, because my mom was kind of the same way as far as the Ensure. That was one thing that the doctors really liked, because a lot of times when someone's ill, they don't want to eat very much. So you're trying to get them some nutrients some way. And Ensure is that a nutritional drink for that, is sold. It's just like a Carnation or whatever. They even have Ensure for kids, but a lot of times they don't want to drink because it's just a drink, and they're like, oh, with Skippy, I don't want to drink anything. So it is finding those creative ways to do that, but it's just interesting.
I was going to say, it's just like we find creative ways to make kids eat.
How are you going to do?
I can remember my mother coaxing me or making pancakes with my initial in it or something like that. So it's, and just like it takes a village to bring up a child, it takes a village to take care of an elder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's more about putting in the love to around the caregiving. And like you said, you mentioned earlier about, these are people that we really care about. And that's why I think the task-orientated piece comes in so much, because we want the best for them. We want them to be as healthy, and we want to try to make them better. But there does come a point where, for ourselves and for them, that gets kind of on the other side when – and you'll know it. You'll feel it almost when you when you are just so – you're so in tune to, I have to do all of these things for mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever, that you'll realize it. And you'll go, really, do I need to be doing this? Do I really need to make him or her eat this specific or an Ensure or whatever it is, to the point where you're frustrated and they're frustrated, and hopefully it will happen before that's when you can step back and say, okay, in the big scheme of things, what's really important. And sometimes,
right,
even if you back up and bring in laughter or bring in something they want to do.
Right, right. And just have those conversations and let you know how much you appreciate them. I mean,
mm-hmm,
my mother knew I loved her, and I know my mother loved me. But I can remember one mm-hmm day being at my house, and my mom was in the other room watching television. And I walked into the other room, and my mom was staring at her hands. And mm-hmm I was like, "Mama, what?" And she said to me, "I'm just looking at these old, ugly, arthritic hands." Now,
mm-hmm,
normally I would have said, "Oh, Mama, those hands are just fine. Oh, Mama, here's
mm-hmm
some hand cream." But I know my mama doesn't have much time left to be with me. So
mm-hmm
I just stopped for a minute, and I sat down, and I took her hands in my hands. And I was like,
mm-hmm,
"Mom, besides how many dishes you told me these hands washed and how many clothes, I mean, my mama didn't get a washing machine till the fourth kid. I remember her washing those clothes in the kitchen sink and hanging them out on the line." I said, "Mama, these hands have combed my hair and wiped my tears. These hands hold my, you know, held my daughter and hold my grandchildren. And these hands gave me a good whack on the fanny when I deserved it, Mom."
Right. Absolutely.
And that
taking
was one of the
time
most profound moments of my life. And what did it take me? 60 seconds?
Yep. Right.
60 seconds. We need to think about that, because I always say your caregiving experience can be the most horrific experience in your life, or it can be close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it. Depending on how you handle it.
That's so true. You bring up another very good point when you're caregiving. And I took the time to do this in the craziness that was going on. And it is crazy sometimes. It is frustrating. It
yeah
is aggravating. But at the same time, like Linda said, slow down for a little bit. Because as you're doing this, and sometimes it doesn't have to be a life-threatening situation where it's stage 3, stage 4, where you know that it's
right,
you know, not going to be too much longer, but take the moments, like Linda was talking about the story with her mom's hands, which made me cry because I have a big thing with hands and my mother's hands too. So as you were talking about that, it made me think about my mom.
Mm.
But take the time to embrace those moments, because it is so precious. And those are the things
yeah
that you get to remember. As you were sharing your story, it made me think of something I asked my mom. And it's something that I never, and the answer that I got was something I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
For, it was, "Mom, what's your favorite color?" I thought I knew what her favorite color was.
Wow.
And I didn't. I actually didn't.
That's really
know
interesting.
Looking back, I thought, "Oh my gosh, how did I not know that?
Right.
How did I not?" Her second and third were, I thought, were her favorites, not her first. And I thought, isn't that interesting? The things that we can, by just taking the time to ask a question.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I treasure most is I had someone interview my mother the last 6 months of her life. So the day of my mother's memorial, this woman brings me 10 CDs of my mother. You know, one CD's on her faith, one was with me, one was with my sister. You know, one was one she sings all the silly little songs she used to sing to us when we were kids. And I can't tell you what a gift that was to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a rough day right now, and I can pop that CD in, and my mom starts laughing, and I'm like, "Get over it, Linda. Just get over it." But I'm so happy I did that. And I say to people, even if you don't tape record your person, your loved one or whatever, each week what I would do is say, "Okay, what do I want to find out from Mama this week? Okay, this week, Mama, I want you to tell me about your first date with Daddy."
Yes.
"Mama, I want you to tell me about who was your favorite teacher in school and how come?"
Yes.
And now my mother could have a conversation with me, not thinking about her illness, not thinking about going to the doctor, not thinking about, you know, anything else, just having that joyful time together.
Absolutely.
You know, if I can tell you one more story, it was a woman came into a support group of mine, and I've facilitated over 1,000 support groups now. And she came into one of my support groups. Her mom had recently passed away, and she was taking care of her dad, and her dad had Alzheimer's, and she really didn't know much about Alzheimer's. And she said to me, it was right before Christmas, and she said, I'm going to deck the house out. I'm going to put lights all over the place. This is going to be the best Christmas he's ever had. And I said, whoa, slow down. Because many times when you have a lot of lights and decorations, that can be very agitating to someone with Alzheimer's. But she didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, I don't think it's such a good idea, especially like blinking lights, you know, and things like that. And she said to me, well, what am I going to do? I said, is your dad still eating? She said, yeah, he still has a great appetite. I said, make all his favorite foods. Mm-hmm. And then I said, tell me something you used to do with him when you were a kid. And she said, well, you always used to play Parcheesi. I said, get a Parcheesi game and bring it over. And she go, and I said, and when you're done with everything after dinner, just take out the photo albums. And she said to me, Linda, he won't know anybody in the, you know, in the pictures and the photo albums. I said, I don't care, take them out. Well, I talked to her like a week after Christmas, and she said, it was wonderful. She said, he ate every scrap of food. She said, he kicked my behind in Parcheesi like 15 times. She said, and we took out the photo albums, and I told you, Linda, any of the people, but guess what? He knew every car. That's a 67 Chevy. That's a 55 Ford, you know, whatever it was. And as she said that to me, she said, and you know what? I just realized he might not even been telling me what was the right year. Who cares? The point was to have a joyful afternoon, and that's what you had.
Mm.
A joyful afternoon.
Yes, absolutely.
So sometimes we just have to work with what we have, and caregivers also need knowledge. Because she had no idea that those lights could have been very irritating to him.
Right.
So that's why I suggest to caregivers to get into a support group or go to a caregiver workshop. First of all, you'll find ideas and that have worked for other people. You'll gain knowledge, and you'll get a little breather for yourself.
Yes. Well, because I think sometimes when we're stuck in that ride on that journey, is that we also feel alone, and that's so not true. And I think that when we're able to put ourselves in a position with other people that are going through that same thing, we can find that support that we need and find that likeness. And like you say, get ideas, take a breather from the crazy ride that we're on. It's so helpful. It's really helpful. I also want to tell everybody, if they want to join in our conversation, we would love to have you. The number is 773-897-6387. So if you want to talk to Linda and I and maybe share a little bit of your caregiving story, that would be great. As we were talking, Linda, laughter's such a big piece of your book. It's one of the things I think that was the beauty underlying with your journey and your mom's journey. She had great humor. She had great humor.
Yeah, she
through
did.
This journey that she was on, and she even sometimes, like you said, elevated you, because it was like you would be going through the stuff and she would do something, you know, lighthearted.
Silly
and,
or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. You have a quote in your book by the great Milton Pearl, laughter is an instant vacation.
Yeah. And it is. You know, I can remember one day in particular, my mom was so sick from chemo. And we were driving in the car, and she got sick in the car, outside the car door, on herself, everything. And she felt embarrassed. And she felt terrible. And she's apologizing to me because it's in my car. And I could care less it's in my car. I'm feeling for her.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we went home, cleaned her all up, showered her all up, sat down in the chair, and we put on an I Love Lucy video. And we laughed and laughed and just forgot about that terrible experience we had an hour before. Because if we didn't do that, I think my mom would probably be dwelling on it half of the day, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got sick in Linda's car. Oh, I got sick in the street. Maybe somebody saw me. Oh, you know what I mean? And she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to, you know, when I was a kid, I used to come home from school. And my mother used to be ironing, watching I Love Lucy. So it brought back just wonderful times and wonderful memories. And a laugh, so I have a friend that says, laughter is like jogging on the inside.
Oh.
And it is. You need to work out your whole system.
That's true. I didn't think about it like that. That's a cute quote. I like that. That's really cute. Because it does. I mean, anytime you smile and laugh, it changes your mood.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be over the silliest thing. Because many times we just take ourselves way too seriously. Way too seriously.
That's true.
I'll do a support group. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'll do a support group and people are crying most of the support group. Another time I'll do a support group, we cannot stop laughing because we're making fun of ourselves and the silly things we do.
Right.
You know, we think as caregivers, this is my responsibility. Only I can take care of my mom. This is my responsibility. No, you can ask for help. You can accept help. You know, I say caregivers have the AAA dilemma. They don't ask for help, they don't accept help, and they don't acknowledge themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest to caregivers, because what happens is your neighbor comes over or somebody from your church or whatever and says, is there anything I can do to help you? And you go, no, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. Yeah, you're okay. But I think the biggest thing is when they ask you at that moment, I don't have a clue what they, could they help me with? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest to caregivers to take some time when they have a little bit of time to sit down and make a list of some things they can accept help with.
Mm-hmm.
So then when your neighbor comes over, you pull out the list and you say to your neighbor, could you mow my lawn? And your neighbor goes, sure, I've been wanting to do it for 9 months. That's why I keep asking you. Because what happens if you don't let people help you, then after a while they stop asking because they feel like they're intruding, and now you're sitting at home at night crying, I have to do this all by myself. Well, you said no to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another woman was really funny. She came to one of my workshops and she sent me an email shortly after that and she said, I thought about what you said, Linda, and when I went home I made my list and I only put one thing on my list. And if anybody asks if they can help, I say, if you can come over any afternoon between 2 and 4 and let me take a nap, that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And her next line was, and I'm pleased as punch to let you know that I'm napping 7 days a week and my husband is getting 7 different visitors that had stopped coming.
Isn't
win-win.
Amazing. Yes.
Win-win.
Yes.
Just a little thing like that.
But it's a big
win-win.
Thing, though. And that's, we don't understand, you know, we don't realize that. It's a big thing, really.
And you know what, another thing I'd like to let you listeners to think about? If you ask the caregiver and they keep saying they don't know, they're okay and everything, just do something. Just go over and mow their lawn when they're not home. Just bring them over some dinner.
Yeah.
Just buy 2 tickets to a show or something. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because
yeah.
sometimes that's just what they need.
I think
so.
And you brought up a huge point, I think, too, is about asking for help. Because I think it is, I don't know, some type of, you know, oh, if I ask for help, I'm, you know, I'm intruding on somebody else's or I'm, you know, shouldn't be asking for help. Like Linda said, too.
Yeah, I might look weak.
Yeah, most of the time people, they know you're going through something. They want to help. So give them something that they can do. Like Linda suggested, you know, little things that can be, you know, like you say, mowing the lawn or even, you know, reading. My mom was an avid reader, avid reader. She loved to read. And towards the end, she didn't really feel like, you know, reading for very long. But if one of us sat down, and we had friends do this too, sometimes her friends would come over, and they would read a page or two, and she loved it. And then they would get in a conversation about the book. She would start talking about characters and where this person was going and why they were going there. And then she might even enlighten us with a story about her childhood.
That's
the beauty of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just never know where it's going to lead.
I know. I had one caregiver, and her friends decided to do something for her, and she knew, I think her mom was, like, going for some tests that day. Well, they were going to be out of the house the entire day, and her neighbor had a key to her house. And when they left that morning and went out and came back at 5 o'clock at night, and when they came back at 5 o'clock at night, the entire house was clean, and there was a meatloaf in the oven.
Oh.
You know, a couple of her girlfriends just came over and worked as a team together and said, let's do that. And they said, she just walked in the door. I could cry right now seeing it. And she cried and cried, and she was just so grateful.
Yeah.
And it also kind of changed her relationships with her friends a little bit. Because it just brought them closer.
Yeah.
So,
that
you know, if anybody's listening today, you all know a caregiver, call them up today and tell them what a great job they're doing. Or just do something nice for them. And it could be just sending a card. Just send a card. You might be know a caregiver that's in distress that doesn't live anywhere near where you are. Send them a card. Get them a massage. Because most people, if you give them that gift certificate for the massage, they're going to use it.
That's
they're
going to
use
true.
It.
That's very true. That is so true. Oh, I mean, caregiving is such a journey, but it can be going to be trying as it is just because there's so many pieces, moving pieces to that journey. But
yeah.
Like Lynn and I were talking about, I think it's so important that the listeners hear about take the time to enjoy the moments, bring in laughter and humor where you can, and don't forget to ask for help. Don't forget to be okay with asking for help and accepting help, like Linda said, and acknowledging, too, that you need time for you. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of caregivers don't do either is take time for yourself because you're so focused on taking care of that person, which is very admirable. It's extremely admirable. However, if you are not taking care of yourself, you are not doing your loved one any good either.
And you know, nobody admires a martyr. Nobody wants to see you just beating yourself up all by yourself. You know, two things come to mind. My sister would say to me all the time on the telephone, because she lived out of, put the oxygen mask on your face first, Linda. And she was right. Just do it. And shortly after, and another thing was, shortly after my mom died, I was in the supermarket one day and I met somebody, and she said, is there anything, how are you doing, Linda? And I said, I'm doing okay. And she said, I'm sick of hearing that from you. I was like, what? And she said, I have to tell you something. When you were taking care of your mom, you stole my joy. And I said, what? I stole your joy? And she said, yeah, I could see you swimming in quicksand, and every time I asked to help you, you said, no, I'm okay. She said, you stole my joy. I wanted to help you. And I was like, oh, my goodness. The light bulb just went off. Because we ask people to help, we offer help to people because we care. And because we love them many times. And if they keep rejecting you, you know, because then, and then what happens too, is one day your caregiving experience is over and do you want to be there all alone? Or you want to have those friends that offered to help in your circle? So, just something to think about.
Absolutely. Before we go, Linda, I want you to share with the listeners more about where they can find, about the book, and about what you're doing, all the, you know, details of if you've got any groups or workshops or events coming up or anything you want to share with them.
Well, they can go to my website, which is lindaburhans.com. That's LindaBurhans.com. There'll be information for caregivers. There'll be information about support groups. I'm currently expanding what I'm doing, and I'm going to be doing some national speaking and going to different areas and running some journaling workshops and things like that. So if any of your listeners know someone that needs a speaker or wants to do a workshop or even wants to do support groups for caregiving professionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the professionals get burned out too, especially when you have somebody like in home health care that's been taking care of the same person. They'll be taking care of a client for 2 years. The client passes away. Well, not only do they lose their client, they kind of lose their job. What a double whammy that is.
Mm-hmm.
So those people need support too.
That's true.
So if any of you need that kind of support, or you want, like I said, you want to do a workshop or something like that, I'm your girl. And you can reach me at 727-365-8383. And in probably the next, probably around May, my second book will be coming out. And that book is going to be called Caregiver Connections, Answers to the Questions You Didn't Know You Needed to Ask.
Mm,
and it'll be written
one.
By myself and 16 professionals, because there's so many questions you don't even know about.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. There are so many on that journey. Well, I thank you so much, Linda, for being here. I thank you for the advice and the ideas and the tips that you gave for other caregivers. And for everyone,
my pleasure.
You go check out Linda's website at lindaberhans.com and call her up if you are interested in doing a workshop or a group.
You could also go to Facebook under Linda Berhans or Good Night and God Bless.
Oh, great.
So sometimes it's easier for people just to go to a Facebook page. So they can go to Linda Berhans, or they can go to my page, Good Night and God Bless.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you again, Linda, for being my guest. It was lovely having you. And thank you all out there for listening to Inspiration Nation. And remember, be the inspiration you wish to see in the world. Thank you all. Have a lovely week. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.